Welcome. My name is Asam Stolu. I'm a trainee editor of the UEG Journal, and you're listening to the UEG Journal podcast. Each episode will highlight one of the most relevant articles recently published in the journal, with the purpose of learning from the most recent evidence and to provide a platform for authors to discuss the most important findings of their research. Hello and welcome back to the UEG Journal podcast. I'm delighted to be joined by Professor Vincent Wong today, and he published a review article in the special liver issue of the journal earlier this year, and I'm really excited to interview him further on their article. So we'll dive straight into it. We're going to be talking about the article titled Diagnosis and Assessment of Disease Severity in Patients with Non-Alcoholic Fatty Liver Disease in the UEG Journal, which is a really important topic. Thank you so much for joining us today, Professor Wong. Please introduce yourself and your co-authors.
Thank you, Asen. So thank you for having me here. So I'm very glad to represent my co-authors of this review article. So this is actually a joint effort among four authors. So the first author is Professor Jie Li from the Drum Tower Hospital in China. I'm also joined with Dr. Adele Delamar and also Professor Victor Deladigan from Bordeaux University. So Victor has recently joined EchoSense as the chief medical officer. So I myself, Vincent Wong, am from the Chinese University of Hong Kong. So the authors are all hepatologists in the field.
That's lovely. Thank you for tuning in to this session as a guest all the way from Hong Kong as well. I know there's a huge time difference, but it really means a lot to our journal and our listeners. So can you please start by introducing NAFLD to us and why we really need these non-invasive biomarkers?
Okay, so NAFLD is non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. So 1 year ago, in fact, the American and European liver societies have changed the name to metabolic dysfunction associated steatotic liver disease. So in effect, we are talking about a disease involving excessive fat in the liver, which is due to obesity, metabolic syndrome, and also insulin resistance. We are very concerned about this emerging disease because its prevalence has been rising very rapidly. According to the latest systematic review and meta-analysis, we know that more than 30% of the general population actually has MASLD. And importantly, it has also emerged as one of the leading causes of end-stage liver disease and also liver cancer. In particular, in the United States, we now know that it is the second leading indication for liver transplantation, and among women, it is actually the number one indication for liver transplantation. So this is indeed a very important disease, and therefore we need to be able to assess it.
Wow, this is just a curiosity, but do you know why the incidence is so high, and do we know what causes it really? Because it's non-alcoholic, so clearly it's not because of alcohol consumption.
Okay, so this disease is strongly associated with metabolic risk factors. So among them, type 2 diabetes and obesity would be the most important. So since this is occurring over the past 20 or 30 years or so, it is unlikely due to a drift in genetics at the population. So it has to be due to our lifestyle, the things we eat, and also more sedentary lifestyle. So we know that we are exercising less and we spend more time in front of the screen sitting on the chair. So those are all conducive to this global epidemic.
I see. Thank you so much for outlining that. So you talk about non-invasive biomarkers in the review article really interestingly. And one of the things that is highlighted in the article is the concept of serum biomarkers and associated algorithms. Of course, we're now moving fast towards the field of AI and really utilizing AI in improving diagnostic accuracy of biomarkers. How accurate are serum biomarkers and these associated algorithms for identifying steatosis in patients, and what is the evidence?
Okay, so this is a very good question. When we talk about biomarkers, it is important to clarify our target. So in the field of MASLD, the targets can be the amount of liver fat, so whether or not there is hepatic steatosis. It can be biomarkers of inflammation and also biomarkers of fibrosis. Among them, markers of fibrosis would be the most important prognostically because it is closely linked to the development of cirrhosis and complications. But now you are asking about the biomarkers for steatosis. We can have some very simple biomarkers, so a combination of liver biochemistry and also clinical factors, including demographic factors and metabolic factors. By combining them, we can create some scores, such as the hepatic steatosis score, fatty liver index. So all those would have moderate accuracy in diagnosing the presence of hepatic steatosis. So on the whole, we are talking about an overall accuracy as reflected by the area under the ROC curve of around 80%. So they are pretty useful, particularly in epidemiological studies. So imagine if you have a huge database of 1 million people, but you don't have any imaging data. This is when you can use those scores to define the proportion of people having steatotic liver disease, and then you can study the demographic distribution, natural history, etc.
Okay, and what about the biomarkers for fibrosis? Is there more data for that, and are the ROC AUCs higher than 0.8 or around the same?
Okay, so for fibrosis biomarkers, they can be divided into three main types. So the first type would still be simple fibrosis scores. The concept is quite similar to the steatosis scores. So in effect, we use logistic regression to derive a formula and to identify independent factors associated with liver fibrosis. So the more extensively evaluated would include the fibrosis 4 index, or what we call FIB4, AST to platelet ratio index, and the NAFLD fibrosis score. So this is for the simple ones. The overall accuracy is around 70 to 80%, but they do have high negative predictive value in excluding advanced liver fibrosis and very high negative predictive value in excluding the development of cirrhotic complications and liver cancer in the next 10 years or so. The second group of biomarkers would be specific blood biomarkers. So this time, instead of just looking at factors associated with fibrosis, we are talking about markers that would reflect fibrogenesis or fibrinolysis. So some of the more commonly evaluated ones would include the enhanced liver fibrosis score, which comprise three fibrosis biomarkers. Another promising biomarker would be PRO-C3, which would reflect the fibrogenesis. So the third group of biomarkers that we often use at the clinic would be imaging biomarkers for fibrosis. So in particular, ultrasound-based elastography or magnetic resonance elastography would be to measure liver stiffness as a reflection of the degree of liver fibrosis. So as you may imagine, the more specific biomarkers would be more accurate. In particular, if the target is advanced fibrosis or even cirrhosis, we are talking about the area under the ROC curve approaching 90%. So they are pretty good. So not only have they been shown to be diagnostic, they have also been shown to be prognostic associated with adverse outcomes.
Okay, that's really interesting and sounds really promising. Thank you. So we kind of spoke about the imaging modalities, but it sounds like they are perhaps much more accurate compared to serum biomarkers from a diagnostic but also prognostic perspective. Can you talk us through the latest updates, including measuring CAP through transient elastography?
Okay, so CAP is controlled attenuation parameter. In fact, many years ago, radiologists have discovered that if the liver is steatotic, the ultrasound energy would be dissipated more readily, and therefore the deeper tissues would be blurred. In fact, this is one of the criteria how we detect hepatic steatosis on ultrasound scan. So it turns out that if we can measure the reduction in the amplitude of the ultrasound wave in the liver, we should be able to estimate the degree of hepatic steatosis. In fact, this is what controlled attenuation parameter does. In fact, this kind of attenuation technology has been applied to some other regular ultrasound scan nowadays in order to estimate the degree of hepatic steatosis. So on the whole, I think CAP has been shown to be more sensitive than just abdominal ultrasonography in picking up hepatic steatosis. So we are talking about, again, an area under the ROC curve of diagnosing various grades of steatosis of around 80 to 85%. But nowadays, the most accurate method to quantify hepatic steatosis is actually a test called MRI-PDFF. So it is based on MRI technology, and PDFF stands for proton density fat fraction. So using the electron spin inside the liver, we can quantify the amount of fat and the amount of water inside. And by doing so, we can calculate the fat fraction. So in fact, in multiple longitudinal studies, even comparing with liver histology, we know that it is currently the gold standard to measure liver fat. So in fact, particularly if you are talking about small changes over time or during treatment, it is even more sensitive than liver histology, which is somewhat crude when you look at the slide under the microscope.
That's really clear. Thank you. So inflammation and fibrosis are part of the pathogenesis of many GI conditions. So can we sensitively detect inflammation and fibrosis associated with non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, or do we run into risks of potentially losing some of the sensitivity because these biomarkers are commonly seen in lots of other types of inflammation and fibrosis?
So on the whole, I would say that the field has been developing specific biomarkers for inflammation and fibrosis in the liver. So as mentioned earlier on, if you measure the stiffness of the liver, of course, it is specific to the liver. And some of the collagen biomarkers are also specific to liver disease. Okay, so in terms of inflammation, it is trickier, I would say. So first of all, it is less specific. And secondly, unlike fibrosis, which would develop slowly over time, inflammation can change more rapidly. And therefore, it is more difficult to validate the performance of inflammation biomarkers. So that being said, the field has been active in developing a number of markers. So in particular, nowadays, we are targeting a condition called high-risk steatohepatitis, meaning that the patient has inflammation at the same time and also moderate to severe liver fibrosis. The more robust ones would include a test called NIS2+, so which would be based on microRNA and also protein biomarker. So we also have the MESF score. So finally, a very simple biomarker is called the FAST score. So it combines the measurement of CAP and liver stiffness measurement by transient elastography together with a very simple blood test, AST, which would reflect the liver enzyme and also the degree of liver inflammation. And after the derivation of the FAST score, people have also go one step further to replace transient elastography with MRI. And therefore, in the literature, we also have the MEFIP score and also the MAS score, which would replace ultrasound technology using MRI. And as you may imagine, they are also more accurate compared with the older scores.
Thank you so much for that. That's really encouraging to hear that the field is moving towards such specific biomarkers specifically for NAFLD. So on that note, what are you looking forward to seeing most in the next few years in this field?
In terms of biomarker development, we have talked about diagnostic performance. We have talked about prognostic performance. But one thing that we haven't touched on would be monitoring and also response assessment. So this would be more challenging because for monitoring, it means that we do not just test it once, but we perform the test repeatedly over time. For response biomarker, we need an effective treatment and we try to track whether the improvement in the biomarker would reflect improvement in histology and, more importantly, clinical outcomes in the future. So to do that, we need to have very good longitudinal cohorts with a rich data set with all the biomarkers tested against clinical outcomes and also histological changes. So fortunately, because there are a number of phase 3 studies in the field of steatohepatitis going on, so we expect that in the next few years, we are going to have a lot more data and we would be able to determine the longitudinal performance of those biomarkers. When we have that, then we finally would have biomarkers that can be used serially in clinical practice and also to assess whether a patient is responding to treatment. And then hopefully the regulators will finally accept that those biomarkers can be used in even in clinical trials to see whether a treatment is working. If that is the case, then our patients in the future will not need to undergo repeated liver biopsies just for the sake of running clinical trials.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Vincent, for such a comprehensive review on the topic of NAFLD. It was a really true pleasure to have you here, and I'm sure that our listeners will greatly benefit from this really excellent overview. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Asan. It's been a pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed this interview, and if you haven't already, please make sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your episodes from. Thank you, and see you again.